Anne was just mentioning that checking the point about Macharya completely eradicated at stage of Sotapanna, as we thought, all kinds, because all wrong view of self is eradicated. So even if it may seem like the example that someone mentioned about Anatta Pindika, it may seem to others that it's some stinginess, but cannot be so completely eradicated.
Can you explain Macharya again, please?
Macharya is when conditioned by the clinging to self and not wanting to share, and usually with unpleasant feeling or dosa, one doesn't want to share what one has been given or the Dharma or anything at all. But Ajahn can say more. So as she mentioned, the different kinds of maturity, not wanting to share worldly possessions, or in the case of the monk, requisites, and not wishing to share Dharma is also kind of macharya, wanting to keep what one hears to oneself, or not wanting to invite other people to benefit, for example.
You might say mean-hearted in English.
Mean-hearted? Stingy? No, not stingy.
Yeah, but not just stingy in terms
of
money.
Yes, stingy. And this is eradicated?
Completely eradicated. At the state, yes.
Okay. Check again and again. Sorry, I'm not following that.
Just one place.
Just one place, okay.
We have to understand what Macharya is.
Yes.
Otherwise, we might think that this is Macharya and that is Macharya.
Tell just from the outer appearance, just because, like the one with wealth doesn't share it to others around, or someone has a good meal and they don't give it to others, we cannot just make assumptions. So it has to be the.
It should be when it's the proper time,
the qualities.
That is sharing at the proper time. Is that what you're saying?
Rightly. Not because of Macharya, but because of lobha, that one doesn't give.
Okay. So is Macharya a form of lobha?
Different cetasika.
The cetasika?
Different cetasikas.
And which one?
Macharya cetasika and lobha cetasika.
Okay.
Yeah, I think you're asking, is it rooted in attachment or in dosa?
Yes, excuse me. Macharya arises with dosa.
Dosa.
With dosa.
Dosa.
Not with lobha.
Unpleasant feeling when one doesn't want to, when one doesn't want to share, one doesn't want others to benefit because of, but conditioned by the strong clinging to oneself. So there is the not wanting to share.
Not wanting others to benefit.
So Macharya and Itsa must be a moment of being unpleasant. Then people get something, fame or praise or fortune.
Bit of mudita, no joy in others' good fortune. Okay.
So issa is envy. That's what I saw. So it would, it's
different cetasika. Different cetasika.
Yes, but they're close, aren't they? No, because one is not wanting to share, the other is
unhappy.
Unhappy, almost wishing that goodness did not come to another person. Yeah, okay.
They're sort of going together.
Yes.
Can we say they are both conditioned by wrong view of self, and when wrong view of self is eradicated, that's why they have to be eradicated?
Because everything of other cetasikas, see? Mm-hmm. So you have conditions to arise, even there's no wrong view.
Yes, but not Issa or Macharya, when no more wrong view.
And this is not important at all, as long as it's the moment of understanding whatever appears.
Yes.
It leaped away.
Brought up was because Sundara thought that he'd heard something different at the foundation, so it's good to clarify and get it right.
But I think that even so, nobody can tell.
Yeah.
it's only the story of lumps of realities.
It's nonetheless, I think, good to be reminded of what it is, because just hearing again and again what is akusala flowing from the idea of self.
And avijja.
And avijja, yes, it would have to arise with avijja too.
Mm-hmm. Okay, as Metta is here now, talking about the story of dharmas. So Metta put up a good quote about anusyas on our discussion list, but one bit sounded a bit strange. Someone said, this is as reported, so what you're saying is that udaccha arises, it doesn't accumulate. Tanajan, no it doesn't, because it's not anusya. They're all together how many? But I think it's some misunderstanding, because udaccha, when it's akusala, it still accumulates.
Not alone.
But with other chetasikas. But I think it just means it accumulates, but it's not anusya, because it's not one of the seven anusyas, but it's still under asya, anusya, all tendencies are accumulated and arise together. All are lying dormant with each chitta and arise when there are conditions, so they still accumulate.
You see that the function of uttaja is not to accumulate. It's a function of citta, together with all chetasikas.
We could say at that moment of akusala that whether we're talking about macharya or whatever, the citta with all the accompanying chetasikas accumulates at that moment. So when it says that adaccha doesn't accumulate, I think that was kind of a misunderstanding, because it must accumulate with the
citta. Together with citta, because it arises with each akusala.
Yeah, so just because it's not anusya doesn't mean that. Yeah.
Sukhina and I also know that akusala or akusala, when it arises and falls away, accumulates.
Yes, so I think it was
The two more sentences above this, or this sentence, can then explain about how many akusala chetasika. There are 14 akusala chetasikas, but not all of them are anusaya. Just only seven. Well, no, but
six. Six chetasika. Seven anusaya. Yes.
Six chetasika.
So not all anusaya. I think it was just that the wording was a bit unclear, because they all accumulate, but only the six chetasikas or seven anusya.
Only six chetasikas are anusya, and utaccha is, it doesn't accumulate to be conditioned for the arising of anusya, the next citta.
What do you mean the anusya don't arise?
No. For, you see, when utaccha arises and falls, it accumulate. It doesn't accumulate to be conditioned for the anusaya to arise, the next citta. Yeah. Actually, it accumulate akusala or akusala is accumulate, but it's not accumulate to be conditioned for the anusaya to arise.
The anusaya never arises.
No, it's not to the next citta. It's conditioned for the arising of anusaya, the next citta.
For anusya to condition the arising. But even though it's not the anusya, under asya, anusya, all tendencies, kusala and akusala, are dormant at each moment. So it's included under asya, anusya, all, like macharya, isa, all are included, but not the anusya, just refer only to those seven.
Only to the seven,
Yes.
It's to be conditioned for the arising of anusya, the next citta. Yeah.
Or anusya to condition the arising of the next.
Yeah, but it not accumulate to be conditioned for the anusya to arise. But actually, it's kusala or kusala accumulate to the next citta.
Who knows?
One just has to be careful with the wording, because if one talks about the anusya, conditioning the anusya to arise, it makes it sound like anusya arise, but it doesn't. But I know what you mean. Yes.
That's what I was just going to ask.
I read from the my post. and your comments about courage. So this morning I drive my car here on the way. I opened the MP3. The teacher said about courage. Adhan ra reung. Because the characteristic of courage. Could you explain again on your comments on DSG?
I think I was talking about how courage is an aspect of virya. So when there is kusala virya, that there is courage. So the aham rarun, this is referring to, is actually virya chetasika. And when we talk about the parami, then there has to be courage that is developed with understanding. One has to be brave or courageous to continue developing understanding of realities over such long term, over eons, not trying to do anything, not wishing to move away from whatever appears at this moment. So that is courage, quite different from conventional idea of courage, which is usually akusala virya.
Yeah, but actually, the characteristic of courage is understand, is panya, not virya chetasika.
The characteristic, it has to arise with panya.
Yeah, yeah. But when panya arises, virya parami has to be there.
Yes. So they have to arise together. Without panya, no paramis can.
Yeah, but
it has to be conditioned by understanding.
But you explain that courage, the characteristic of courage is virya chetasika, but it's not virya chetasika. It's panya, right understanding. Understand.
Yes. Panya understands.
Panya understands, yeah.
It has to be supported by the virya at that moment.
Yeah,
because that is what the courage is, an aspect of virya. Yeah. Yeah. So it has to be the virya with understanding.
Yeah. No matter kusala or akusala, virya will be there. No matter kusala or akusala.
Yes, but when we're talking about parami, it has to be kusala virya with understanding.
Yeah. Yeah, but courage is panya, is understand.
Panya is understanding.
Panya is understanding. And courage is arises with panya.
But courage is not panya.
Not panya.
Because there can be courage without panya.
Without panya. So,
but when they arise together, it's different one. Yeah. After hearing, the courage is different from before hearing.
So it must be kusala, citta, courage, understanding.
And courage can be kusala or akusala, but when it's parami, it has to be kusala virya with panya, conditioned by panya.
Yeah, but the characteristic of courage is not virya, right?
So what is it?
It's virya. Virya.
Can it be panya?
No, it cannot be panya. Okay, thank you.
It talks, for example, about the bodhisattva and the development of the paramis and the courage that had to be developed for so long. It's actually pointing to virya, conditioned by panya to be courageous, to follow such a long path and develop understanding and not be deterred or move away from what is right, what has to be understood at this moment. So it takes a lot of courage or bravery to really be firm and really face up to the truth at this moment, no matter what it is, not just wishing to have calm or kusala, but really just to be detached from whatever appears now. That's courage, also with such a parami and Kanti and all the other paramis. But courage has its own quality.
Thank you very much. I just know today, courage is very, thank you.
So, do you have courage? What kind, what kind of courage? It depends.
done, and this is what you are referring to and have referred to over the years as one has to have courage to understand.
And together with understand.
Yes.
Depending on the level of understanding.
Because whatever we talk about, it has to come down to citta, cetasika, rupa, so one has to consider what it is, and how courage cannot be same as panya, so one has to consider what is there. Like kanti, yes. There's no cetasika, so one has to consider what it is, metta or anything. Talking about the anusya, this point came up because someone was asking yesterday why these factors are the anusya, and I said I remembered that because all other akusala depend on them, so they're like the basis for all other akusala. Can you add any more?
If so, yeah. Can anyone know more?
Without the anusya, no udacha, no macharya, no isa, no any other kind of akusala. Anything else on that point, Alberto, about anusyas?
No, I have another subject, if it's okay. Not on anusya, but... Yeah, I wanted to ask you about aramana upanisaya and aramana dipatipatse, about the conditions, opposite conditions, the different level of which opposite conditions, the citta and the other cetasika. Aramana pachaya and aramana upanisaya pachaya and aramana adipati pachaya.
Yeah. Three words. Aramana is now, right?
Right.
What do you like now?
Hearing Dhamma.
Really?
Hearing Dhamma.
That is aramana tipati. Rather than the others, that you prefer because of its nature for you to be a tipati. That's why usually it's object of lobha.
The predominant object, the object that one particularly is inclined to, usually with attachment, but can be in this. With panya.
So many things are aramana now. It depends on what is aramana tipati or not. Like we eat. See. What do you like? For lunch?
And same as aramana upanisaya, same.
Not yet. Just aramana. No doubt. No question. And aramana tipati. The salmon soup, Khunom Chin, see, aramana tipati for him. That which one cannot forget or just want to have it is aramana tipati. So usually it's for lobha, but it can be with kusala, to kusala as well, like we now have aramana tipati listening to the teachings. And since it arises very often, it becomes one's upanisaya, aramanupanisaya. For citta, just to have it more than other.
That just means it becomes the habit, becomes the one that is commonly liked because of being predominant, so it becomes the habit to keep liking it or thinking about the konoma again and again or something.
Yeah, because I thought it was aramana upanisaya was the same as aramana dipati, because in patana the wording is the same for both.
The same reality, but different by accumulation and how often it arises.
Just have to think then why under the pachya, why it distinguishes between them. So even it can be the same realities, but one has to consider why there is this emphasis here and this emphasis there, what the difference is in the wording, even if it's the same, even though it's the same condition, cheetahs and cheetah seekers.
When we talk about the Aramana Pachaya, Aramana Tipati Pachaya, and Aramanu Patnisaya Pachaya, it agrees with Upanisya Kojira until it becomes one's habit, not one other object rather than this, as Upanisya. Usually people want sense object, but now it changes little by little. By hearing more and more again and again, it becomes one. Upanisya Gotra.
And when it's Upanisya Gotra, it's just referring to the object, which is the habitual object of understanding, not the object of attachment anymore. So it's only referring to sound or visible object or the object which is commonly understood, one that understanding is more and more familiar with.
And it will lead to a higher one, Araknu. Kojara, Araka Kojara.
So I may have understood then, but when you're talking about when you were talking about Upanisaya Kojara becomes one's habit, an object which is commonly understood. So we're not talking about understanding here necessarily. We're talking
about understanding. We're talking about understanding of reality. We're talking about pariyatti understanding.
Okay.
For example, why do we keep hearing again and again about visible object and seeing?
Okay.
Why did the Buddha keep talking about these different realities, pleasant feeling, unpleasant feeling, feeling that's neither pleasant or unpleasant, so that the understanding and the wise considering becomes more familiar with understanding, so that they become the commonly understood objects. That's Upanisya Gotra.
Okay.
Not in his original question, it was just about different conditions,
objective conditions,
and there it's not related to understanding.
That's okay, I got that. And I wasn't sure. You said commonly, I heard commonly understood, and I think what you were saying was probably commonly understood objects when listening to the
Dhamma.
We're
talking about the Gotra, which is the habitual object of understanding.
Right.
All the context, we're talking about the aramana, the object. So the object which is the habitual object of liking or here, the object which is the habitual object of understanding. And then Ajahn was just mentioning, and it leads to araka gochara. And this is by Nisya Pachya. Araka means protection, so it's referring to all kinds of kusala, so it's referring to understanding leading to all kinds of kusala, which are protection
from wrong understanding.
Yes.
Protection from wrong understanding. But when it mentions all kinds of kusala, but actually not all kinds of kusala, protection from wrong understanding, so it's just referring to kusala that is protection from wrong understanding.
This is a way of developing right understanding to realize reality right now. And that one is Upanibandha Kojara.
Would you mind repeating that? I'm sorry.
So the first one, the Upanisya Gotra, leads to the protection from wrong understanding, the Araka Gotra, and that leads to the Upanibandha Gotra, and this is the direct understanding of realities. the Upanibandha, or Bandha binding, and Upani
now,
is
to
now
this moment.
Binding to this moment, but so it's the direct understanding
of the present moment.
Yes, so this is Satipatthana.
Before there can be a moment of awareness, because before there can be a moment of awareness, there must be Upanishya Khojara,
yeah,
hearing a lot, to protect one from wrong understanding.
Before there can be awareness, yeah, of the level of Satipatthana, so yeah, because there's awareness with any kusala, but yeah, before there can be the direct understanding, the direct awareness of reality, there has to be the Upanishya Gotra and the Arka Gotra.
So now, Upanishya Khojara, until it can protect one from wrong understanding.
So one could say actually that until it protects, until it's so firm, and then this is back to Satchanyana, until it's so firm it protects.
Satipatthana. Upanibandha is Satipatthana.
So when you say the protection, the Araka,
from understanding.
So it's already Satipatthana when talking about Araka.
Different level.
Different kind. Okay,
only the direct one is Upanibandha.
Upanibandha, yes.
Different level.
So that's why I ask when it's the protection from wrong understanding, when it's very firm. So is this like Satchanyana, when it's so firm that not moving to other objects in other ways? So that's the same.
That is protection.
Protection.
It's like Satchanyana.
One's not inclined to, no interest in following any practice or trying to understand, because it's firm to the right object of understanding at this moment.
Is it a new word for you? No. Upanishya Khojara. Araka Khojara. Yeah. The point is just to understand the relationship between Pariyati, Patipatti, Pativita, Satyana, Kijayana, and Katayana. So now, what's the Aramanati Patipatti? This one? Or this one? What? Daily life. Just to understand that no one can do anything at all, just by conditions.
And they all refer to the object of citta and cittasikas.
But if citta doesn't like it, it doesn't have any meaning. The object has a meaning.
Has no meaning. So it can't be neither aramana dipati nor.
When we talk about the free, it will lead to enlightenment, not akusala. Because before it becomes one's habit, it takes long, long time to listen to the word with understanding, to be Upanishya Khojara, want to read, want to write, want to have more understanding, rather than doing everything else. So one knows what's one aramanatipati. Whether it is Upanishya Khojara. Khojara here means the Buddha's way, the Buddha's path. Khojara. Not other people's path.
At the Araka Khojara stage, we were talking about it being basically the Satchanyana stage. Stage isn't probably the right word. Sounds like Satchanyana.
It is firm.
That is firm. And one of the things we've been saying about that is knowing that there is no other path. This is the path, not searching elsewhere for other ways to find peace,
to
happiness,
understand.
To understand, other ways to understand. Okay. And
I'm thinking that there must be different levels of that.
Certainly.
And
very weak and stronger
right.
confidence.
And this may relate to what I was trying to say unsuccessfully this morning, that there is more understanding of what the path to understanding is, like Silapata Paramasa, there is the very, heading off to the meditation center. And then there is the noticing during the day slight moments of maybe not so much trying as...
But it is.
It is trying, yeah. Just tiny little moments, and that's a different level.
To catch understanding or...
That's right.
Trying to have the right object or something.
Well, that's right. Or thinking, a spontaneous thought about something in the Dhamma comes up. Just poop comes up like that, and then you find yourself thinking about it, trying to... stretch the thought further or take it further. So these are all different levels of satchidananda.
Not firm enough.
So it's not firm enough.
At
yes.
those moments, it's not firm. It's not.
That's right.
It's not satchidananda.
Yes. So that's the subtleties I was trying to get at earlier. Is there? It just becomes. One becomes aware of more and more what. Is not the path, is, and the protection of kusala. Yeah. Yeah, what is not the path that would go wrong, even though it's very subtle, it's still not the path. Yeah.
Less and less idea that anything can be done about reality at this moment, or it can be any other way, whether it's now or just before death or any other time. It's just whatever arises by conditions totally unknown and unexpected. So it leads to less expectation about the moment, whether in a Dhamma discussion or any other time. And that's when it's... So that's satchidananda, not having any thought or interest about something else arising now or hanging on.
So the thoughts still arise, but
right.
they don't carry one away. One doesn't actually then think of going off somewhere
right.
else to practice or something like that. So it shows the tendency is still there, of course, which we know because it's not fully eradicated until stream entry. But at such moments of thoughts of wrong practice, I'm assuming that that would be a kind of wrong view, an aspect of wrong view.
Silapatapramasa.
Right, so... We often ask the question, how is wrong view known? Well, at those moments, the characteristic is there to be known.
Yes.
And I'm not talking about going off and doing something else mm-hmm. so much as realizing that one is trying to think about mm-hmm. something. As I say, something can arise spontaneously.
Trying to work it out.
That's right.
That's
even
a good example.
Little bit.
Trying to understand reality by working it out.
Right.
So it's the beginning of understanding what's meant by kandiyana, which is vipassana, while this is not vipassana at all. Mm-hmm. Much more than that.
Can you explain that again, please?
Kandiyana. It has to be vipassana yana. From samadhi.
Yes.
Jnana.
Yes, okay.
Not
sorry,
ordinary kanti.
So this
patience cannot be of that level of kantiñāna because it's still that there is still the trying to work it out or catch reality, so it's not the kanti that is developed to that degree.
I guess where I've noticed it is a thought arises, something about Dhamma quite spontaneously, and the mind's tendency to hang on to it and think it through further, which is the working it out or remember it further. The trying to think it through, work it out, is clearly not the path. So you learn more and more what letting it go may mean, and what I'm going to stop there.
A little understanding.
Pardon?
Maybe a little understanding of letting go.
Yes.
But it's not panya which can letting go. Which can letting go?
No.
So it can also be wrong practice too,
yes,
when there's thinking like that and lost in the story about Dhamma,
yes,
and then thinking, oh, it should be let go, that sila bhata paramasa, like the idea that it should stop at that moment.
The should is there.
So
it depends on whether it's panya or not,
yes,
which knows,
yes,
or which understands.
And there has to be enough banya to know whether it's banya which understands.
So much.
Yeah.
And trying to know whether it's panya or not for sure is more sila bhata paramasa. Story of me and my panya again.
That's right.
Because of ignorance from years ago, it's impossible just to leave it suddenly.
Mm-hmm.
Aramana Upanisya, the habit of clinging to that object is there.
Is Aramana Upanisya the same as Upanisya Kojira?
Yes, I think so. Yes.
Aramana Upanisya can be any object.
So like in this example, it's the object of attachment of when one's used to just thinking or dwelling on the story about Dhamma or trying to work out whether it's panya, it's Aramana Upanisya, it's the habit of clinging to that object, but it's not Gotra Upanisya, which has to be referred to understanding of an object.
Upanisya Gotra is Aramana Upanisya, but Aramana Upanisya is not always Upanisaya Gojara.
Anything can be Aramana Upanisaya, but to be Upanisaya Gojara must be the Buddha's path. Since being Bodhisattva, having habits to develop understanding. Little by little. So panya knows whatever it is.
It must be very little by little.
Yes, comparing to the avicca from years ago.
At different levels at different moments. Yeah.
Never to return. But it conditioned the next and the next. On and on. Sankara Kanda. It's impossible to eradicate kilesa without right understanding of whatever appears now. So let go what? Avicca. Yes, where is it?
Now.
To let go.
When right understanding arises, let go.
Let go what now? I see. No more I see. Let go. The idea. I see. I hear, I think, right now.
Let go the idea of all right.
Thank you.
That's why the Upanishya Gotra becomes Araka Gotra just to protect, let go that idea of I. Otherwise it can't be Upanibandha Gotra.
It's very strong in a day.
So one can see that without understanding, it's impossible to let go the idea of self from I see, I hear, I think, I remember, I like, or five khandhas.
So at the Araka Gotra level, there's all kinds of kusala protecting from wrong understanding, because when the kusala is arising...
Why not panya? Why not panya?
Protecting.
Only panya can.
Only panya.
Okay. This is the way of developing panya.
Right, okay, only panya can be the
from
protection.
From the very beginning
then,
to the end, from
only panya.
The habit of hearing, so it can become the protection from all wrong
feeling. Okay, so only panya can be the protection.
This
then
is the way of developing panya.
Yes, not other kinds of kusala.
Because if we listen to other words, not the words
right
of the truth,
right,
how can it be the Upanishya, which we need to understand?
No, it can't. I think
it's all talking about understanding.
Right.
But that understanding, like we said, it has to be supported by courage and patience.
Yes,
it has
yes,
to be
yes
supported by
yeah
all kinds
yeah
of kusala, by paramis. Otherwise,
oh,
it cannot develop.
Oh, that's what you meant, all kinds of kusala. I took it
with
more broadly.
With
understanding. With understanding. Okay.
Another explanation and other subject, the four gotra.
In this context, three.
And there are also the gotra rupas, is that right? Yes,
mm-hmm.
Not
how many
of gotra? Seven.
Okay, three. Different ones. I was talking on different subjects.
Yeah.
Because gotra just means object, aramana, so it depends on the context.
Yeah.
Just back to the anusiyas, the asya anusiya, so we know that when talking about the anusiya, it's just talking about the seven anusiya, six chetasikas, but we know that each chita carries all tendencies, kusala and akusala, so we know all tendencies, all kinds of kusala, all kinds of akusala, including udaccha, kukuccha, everything is carried at each moment and lying dormant. So under asya, anusya, all tendencies are included. It's just that under anusya, it's just pointing to these particular key, a particular, but other kinds of akusala are included under asya, anusya, because under asya, it includes all kusala and akusala. So it's just pinpointing those, but even udaccha, all tendencies are lying dormant under as asya and anusya.
But it's just seven.
Anusya. But asya covers all kusala and akusala, because all tendencies are
right
carried from chitta to chitta, lying dormant, ready to condition the arising of those akusala states.
Mm-hmm.
But it's just that the anusya point to the key ones. Akusala,
okay,
but it doesn't mean the other akusala, along with all kusala,
is not carried
dormant and
right
carried by chitta to chitta, like the tendency for macharya. It's there, lying dormant, but by pointing to anusya, it indicates that it depends on those other main kinds of akusala, but still that macharya is dormant, ready to condition the arising of macharya whenever it's the right time.
And what did you call it? Asya anusya?
Asya anusya,
yes.
So it refers to all tendencies,
yes,
kusala and akusala. I think it was when we were here last time, someone was asking you about the difference between vitaka and
manasikara, and we can say, okay, they don't appear. So trying to know is what kind of citta. But your answer was, when asked about the difference between them, you said, well, manasikara arises at every moment and vitaka doesn't. So, for example, at a moment of seeing, manasikara has to be there attending to the object, but it doesn't need vitaka to touch the object, but afterwards vitaka is needed. I just wondered what the significance is when you said, oh, well, the reason is that manasikara arises at every moment and vitaka doesn't. How does that explain the difference between these chaitasikas, these two?
Because you see that what is manasikara? Attention. Just to the object. When object is there, this chaitasika arises every moment. But so short, just one single moment of seeing in the process. Because the citta before seeing does not see. It does not perform the function of seeing. It seems like there is seeing each time now. But actually, even in the process, a single one see. Before that, Panchatvara Vajna doesn't see. It just knows that the object is there, whether it's which doorway. And the following one, Sampatichanasa, doesn't see. So how short it is. So the next one needs vitakka. Otherwise it's gone. It's just only be seen, that's all. But vitakka touch on it. To go on it and on. So the ten, see, actually it's only the result of karma. Just to see. See? Know nothing. Don't know what is seen. Just to see, just to hear, that's all. But the citta which follows does not leave it, just touch it, keep on. So that is why from moment of 10 cittas there must be vitaka.
Otherwise that object couldn't be experienced by the cittas that follow it. And I think you have mentioned before, because the 10, seeing, hearing and so on, are actually weak chaitas, so they only need 7 chaitasikas just to attend, just to focus on it, and then it's gone. But the others are stronger, so they need more factors to touch and so on.
That's why it seems like seeing is very important, but actually the vitakka is important. And that is why it said to be the foot of the world. Keep on going.
Vitakka.
From seeing.
Sorry.
From seeing, keep on going to sorry and whatever is seen.
I remember a similar discussion about this in Poland, actually, with regard to pasa. That pasa arises with each citta. For what?
For citta to experience.
For citta to experience.
What it contacts, that's all.
Yes.
Citta cannot experience the object which contact does not contact.
I'm sorry, citta cannot experience the object.
That contact does not contact.
Right. And the following jittas also require vitakka.
The other jitta, not the ten, must have vitakka.
Yes. The jitta following the ten requires.
Or before the ten.
Or before the ten, yes.
Needs vitakka.
Right. Just as it needs manasikara. Isn't that what
only seven?
Every jitta needs manasikara to attend to the object because it's a universal.
Oh, it's vitakka. Okay, yes, and it's vitakka.
This is the distinction
that is required and beyond the vijnana jitta.
They're all vijnana jittas, but after seeing, hearing.
After strength, seeing, hearing, yes.
Then
that's it.
Also before.
Yes.
Okay. And as
for those cheetahs after seeing which need vitaka, and vitaka in that context is foot of the world and being insignificant to touch the object. Would you say something about foot of the world and that?
Keep on.
Just keep on in order to keep...
About that.
Keep experiencing that object.
And the story through mind from then on.
What does foot of the world mean?
It goes around. Yeah. Keep on walking.
I think it's, don't they sometimes use rudder, like the rudder on a boat, the vitaka is the rudder which keeps it going.
Not sati. Because it needs other jetasikas to arise with, which way go.
One's talking about the path, that vitaka is needed for understanding, to understand the object, so then it's easier to understand. It's the foot of the world at that point, because without it, understanding cannot understand anything.
That's why there can be akusala vitaka and kusala vitaka.
Maybe when it's talking about as the rudder, maybe it's referring to kusala and akusala vitaka in particular, not vipaka, vitaka. Back to the point that came up on Saturday about the four factors for stream entry that I think Sundra and John and people were talking about, the association with superior persons, hearing the true Dharma and so on. I mean, even the first one, association with the superior persons, the Buddha and the enlightened ones, or associations with the teachings. Can we not say that without any understanding, there isn't any association, because even we open the Dharma text, if there's no understanding, it's not actually association with the wise. So when we're talking about these four factors, they're actually all pointing to Panya from the very beginning.
To know who's the wise and who's not the wise.
Otherwise, it's like a child can open the Dharma book or can listen to the Buddha, but and without understanding, it's not any association. Starting from Yoniso Manasikara. So when it talks about association with the wise leading to hearing the Dharma and Yoniso Manasikara, but actually it has to be Yoniso Manasikara from the outset, otherwise it's no association, it's no hearing of the Dharma. One can't talk about hearing the Dharma without Yoniso Manasikara.
Panya, would that be then?
With the beginning of Pariyatti, understanding to be association.
Has to be beginning with Pariyatti, but step back, there have to be the accumulations to be interested in what is wise.
Gradually, little by little.
Yes, so it goes even before that, I think.
Without any wise consideration, any Pariyatti from the beginning, then it's impossible to know who is wise. There can't be any understanding what wise
that's
is.
True. That's true. Just needs to be the accumulations to listen.
But one has to consider what is meant by listening.
Mm-hmm.
For example, if a small child comes into the room,
right.
It's not association with the wise or listening if there's
no
Pariyatti understanding at all. So it has to be
beginning with
that's why it has to be Yoniso Manasikara from the very outset. Otherwise it's not any association or hearing.
So what about past deeds? It has to be the karma that conditions the opportunity to associate with the wise in given lifetime.
How can hardness become durian, tree and flower? Only four tattoos with the other four. Quite different. long, long time ago. Long, so long, long time ago. That's the way it is, Dhamma.
Like the hearing of the sounds, like if a small child is in the room, the hearing of sound at any time is result of karma, whether it's hearing of good or bad, of pleasant or unpleasant sounds. But that isn't the hearing of Dhamma, what is meant by hearing of Dhamma, or the association with the wise. Yes. So there has to be, to hear any sounds, there has to be karma from the past. But that's not meant, what is meant by a factor.
But there has to be rebirth at a time when the Dhamma is alive too, to hear it.
Long time ago.
Has to be ignorance.
Endless. Yeah.
When we were talking about reflection on samatha objects and reflection on Dhamma, there was a question you discussed with someone about whether there can be reflection on Dhamma or reflection on samatha with kusala without panya. Right?
Without panya?
Yeah, I don't understand how there can be reflection on object or samatha or reflection on Dhamma with kusala but without panya. There has to be panya, right?
Samatha must be developed by panya.
Yeah. So even reflection on death, for example, can it be with... Can it? The point was whether it can be kusala but without panya? Or
reflection on death?
Yeah.
Without panya?
Kusala but without panya?
When it's not kusala, it's a kusala.
Yeah. And when it's kusala, if it's kusala reflection on death, it has to be panya. Can you give an example of kusala reflection on death without panya?
I don't know. I suppose if you think death comes to everyone or something like that, I think that's just possibly just normal kusala, no panya.
Just think about death.
Well, that's the question, isn't it? That's the question, right? Can you think about death with kusala jitta but without panya? Don't see why not.
But is just the thought death comes to everyone necessarily kusala?
Necessarily?
No.
I didn't say necessarily.
Okay.
is it possible?
Yeah. No, we know that there can be lots of reflection on death without kusala, but if it is kusala at that moment that death is coming, if it is kusala, then there has to be panya there.
What about when reflecting on it with right understanding sometimes, and reflect on it without understanding sometimes? Just think about it.
Mm. But when it's without understanding, the point is, when it's without understanding, it's a kusala.
Like everyone dies.
Yes, everyone.
Kusala?
Death will come.
No.
Everyone knows.
Yeah.
Yes.
Akusala. Yeah. So it's not kusala then. But if it's kusala, so moments of kusala
be.
With
panya. I don't
panya.
See why it couldn't be kusala.
Why cling to life just to die?
Yeah. But this is just talking about common, ordinary akusala thinking. It's not with understanding. But the question was whether it can be kusala thinking about death, but without panya. But can it be kusala of some kind without understanding?
How kusala is it, thinking about death?
I don't know. Because it's not dana and it's not
just like thinking.
Yeah.
Ordinary idea.
To be kusala, would there need to be some understanding of what it is?
That's why when it
that
is samatha bhavana, it
dies,
is panya.
Falls away, and then is reborn. Because otherwise, it's tamada. It's just conventional thinking about death. And I don't think that's kusala.
For example, life is not permanent. Yeah. Panya or no panya. Kusala or akusala.
Let's say there's no panya, but can it just be some weak kusala without panya or not?
It depends on citta at that very moment. Mm. Just joke, see? But then, life is not permanent.
Yeah, but then you should, that would be with
akusala.
Akusala, yeah. So the question is any example of kusala without prani effort.
We live just shortly, do our best.
Ordinary thinking, kusala.
Enough to restrain one from unwholesome deeds at that moment.
Or the level of sila.
No, life is short, why argue the point? Sort of, you know.
Yeah. That's why it begins with wise attention, yoniso manasikara, because in the day we don't usually think about it.
About beginning of yoniso manasikara, then that's with understanding. Otherwise, it's no.
But anyway, there are two kinds: kusala and akusala. That's all. It's the nature.
It would be quite remarkable if you could say the thought about death could never be kusala unless it was accompanied by panya, because panya is rare. But there can surely be some useful thinking about death without understanding.
Well, it depends on what thinking is, doesn't it? I mean, there can be thinking about death. Going to heaven, I'm going to join all my, united in the house of, in God's house and all of that. That's right. That's a kusala, but it's still thinking about death.
We're not saying it has to be kusala. The question is just, is it possible for there to be thinking about death that's wholesome but not accompanied by panya?
We just talked some times about this, the vajita over there.
Different moments, kusala, akusala. Yeah,
but usually akusala.
Usually it's akusala, usually with aversion or fear or attention, like any other topic.
But a moment of knowing that it's just natural.
It just seemed to me that when it's kusala, usually it's with panya, like if one says, okay, it's natural and like this moment, totally cannot be predicted or expected in any moment, any time or whatever. Usually there is panya when it is wise reflection, otherwise it's akusala. But maybe, as you say, just, death is coming or something, maybe kusala, but without understanding.
Can we say that the beginning of panya is wise attention? Yoniso manasikara. But manasikara must be manasikara. Not panya yet. Yoniso.
When we say that beginning has to be yoniso manasikara, and that can actually, the yoniso manasikara can be kusala without panya, so not always
wise
panya.
It's wise, but it's not at level
of panya. Mm-hmm.
But it's a beginning.
Beginning, yeah. So it's kusala,
without
but not yet.
That can never be panya.
No, no. Beginning, attending to the object in kusala way.
Pariyati would be yoniso manasikara in that would fit your example saying yoniso manasikara is not yet panya. Pariyati. When listening, but not with very little understanding.
Carefully.
Wise. With yoniso manasikara, but not yet with panya.
It will lead to panya.
It will lead to panya.
To understand more and better.
And it depends, because it can be yoniso manasikara, can be when there is understanding, when it is pariyati understanding, then it is yoniso manasikara. So
this subject came up on the discussion list because someone was questioning the four factors and saying that if one hears the Dhamma, it may condition wrong understanding, wrong thinking about the Dhamma, wrong view may condition wrong way of thinking. Not necessarily.
But it's unwise attention.
Yes. And then there was a follow-up question to the effect of, what about if there's no understanding at the time the Dhamma is heard, but after some thinking about it later, it conditions right understanding.
Okay. Life is short. So what? Tanya or Yoniso Manasikara? Life is short. No understanding of what life is yet. But life is short.
Death can come at any time.
Right.
Same thing. No understanding of what death is.
But begin to know that nothing is permanent.
And so likewise, I think when one hears about, say, the doorways, for example, and one's never heard the teaching before, perhaps, but at first it's a very strange idea to hear it for the first time, and there may be a reaction, but after some reflection, one sees that, okay, yes, seeing and hearing are different kinds of consciousness, different objects, and so forth.
It depends. Life is so short. Enjoy it. See?
Yes.
It's quite common, too. Common. Often people say enjoy.
Death is coming, have as much fun as you can now.
So getting back to those four points, Jonathan, I think you once said, and I found it helpful, it's not like the very first one, you know, the Sapurisa Sangse, well, to be with the wise person and so on, through to, you know, Dhamma no Dhamma, but the third one has to be the only stuff. But then again, it's not just the word. You know, is what Alberto is referring to there is that it has to be correctly understood, what correct pariyatti about what yoniso manasikara is. So it's everything is so interrelated. It's not do one and then the other and then the other and then it's all going to fall into place. It's not like that. If there's anything, I certainly see that the third one, yoniso manasikara, is, of anything, the key, but that has to be correctly understood also. Just what is yoniso manasikara?
There cannot be yoniso manasikara on and on just from hearing the Dhamma once. It has to be heard again and again. So I think it's a, like a loop. Appreciating that is another reason why one would attend a discussion, not with a view to it bringing more understanding at the moment, but because one appreciates the importance of the reminders over the long term.
One sees that it's an important prerequisite to the development of wisdom.
When one goes to a meditation center, is it Upanishadakojara?
No.
So we understand better about the difference between Aramana, Aramanathipati, and Aramanupanishadapajja, and Upanishadakojara, Arakakojara, and Upanipandakojara.
Usually when we discuss about Upanishadakojara, for example, we might say visible object, just that which is seen. Hearing about visible objects and understanding wisely is Upanishadakojara, because it becomes the familiar object. What about just something general like the value of studying the Buddha's teachings rather than reality? Can one talk about that as Upanishadakojara, not just
Kojara is object, right?
So it has to be reality.
Mm-hmm.
Otherwise it's just
it
something.
It has to be object of right understanding.
Mm. Because the reason I asked is because you said something about Upanishadakojara and understanding the value of the Buddha's teachings, but actually it has to be reality, not just some vague idea about.
I mean that. Without the teachings, can
then
there be,
can
the,
be
understanding
the understanding of the realities?
Yeah,
yes.
Of good. Yeah. So listening to the truth the words of the Buddha would become Upanishya Kodra. Never forget. Nothing is better than this.
And when we hear about the Buddha's teachings, we're talking about realities. Otherwise, people may have some other idea of some general understanding of the Buddha's teachings.
Yes, but sila, samadhi,
something
yes.
Yeah.
No understanding. No protection from wrong understanding.
Can we say that hearing the Dhamma is just, as you, I think, I remember you saying, it's just the introduction to actually understand the realities. The hearing the Dhamma is pointing at. Is pointing at. So it's just like an introduction to actually understanding.
Well, I think, I mean, it can be, it's like what we were talking about before, is it kusala or akusala, because that second one, the saddhamma samanam, we've talked about hearing a good dhamma, but because of wrong view or accumulations of wrong understanding, you can hear the dhamma, as many people did in the Buddha's time, but they didn't understand it, or they understood it wrongly, or any other combination. So it may be a start, but it may not be for different reasons. It's.
But why do we listen to the teachings?
Because it's the only way to understand them.
So, it depends on understanding. To be habits, to see the value of understanding. Otherwise, it cannot become one habit.
Point to the four factors we've just been discussing, isn't it? To the four factors that we've been discussing of association with the wise person, hearing the Dhamma, wise reflection, and because without the hearing there cannot be, as you said, the understanding. So it's certainly the precursor, if that's what you mean by introduction.
I think I've heard Ajahn saying this. Maybe I'm wrong, but I think I've heard Ajahn saying that we listen to the teachings as a necessary introduction to the actual understanding of what we are hearing.
First factor is the association with superior persons and association with the enlightened ones. So if it's not actually any association if there is no understanding at all. So it's not like there can be association as a precursor to beginning to understanding, because that's not what is meant by association. So it has to be some understanding, some yoniso manasikara right from the beginning.
Like Wakali, you know, he was with the Buddha, but the Buddha said, you need more than my presence to develop understanding. So you might be with the Sapurisa, the wise person, but even then, you know, it's always these many different variables that impatience and ongoing consideration, and there's no one of those four that are within themselves the critical one. It's always ongoing consideration, reflection, pondering, and following the path.
Like you could say in that example with Kali, when it's just even in the Buddha's presence, but if it's just strong attachment at those moments, or strong attachment to the body of the Buddha or to the Buddha himself, then it's not association with the wise, just like someone just comes to the foundation to be close to a jhana out of attachment. It's not any association with the wise at those moments. So it has to come down to the understanding to be the association with the wise at that moment.
Well, the understanding, the listening to the Dhamma, with understanding, the reading of the words of the Buddha with understanding, right? That's the association.
That's the association.
Yeah.
Like one can read the Patana with no association with the wise at all. One can recite it in Pali, no association at all. Or one could read one line with association with the wise. So it depends on the citta, not the book one's reading or the company one's keeping. One could be out having a walk in the forest, and if there's wise reflection, it's association with the wise. That's wise reflection on the teachings. Just bring up some of Nina's points on nimitta again. Actually, I replied to it all, but I'm sure she would like to hear your comments. And she writes, now I'm just checking with the following examples to be sure I understood rightly about shape and form. And earlier there was a comment, does visible object have shape and form? Yes and no. And then she writes, well, does visible object have shape and form? It was asked, yes and no, because without visible object, there is no shape and form. But anyway, we can ask that as a question. Does visible object have shape and form? And then when looking at the computer screen, all these letters, before knowing the meaning, they're seen. Shapes and forms are seen. We cannot say they are not seen, right? So that's her first question.
Without seeing?
No shape and form.
Mm-hmm.
Without visible object, no shape and form. But I think her question is, can we say that the shapes and forms, the shapes and forms of the letters are actually seen?
Again?
I think her question is, can we say the shapes and forms, the nimittas of what is seen, the shapes and forms all of those letters are seen?
If there is no realities at all, how can there be shape and form?
That's all we can say. And when hearing a melody, before recognizing the melody, its meaning, there is hearing of different sounds. The sounds are all different by conditions, high and low, loud and soft, but no thinking yet, right? And that's correct. Sounds are all different. But when we talk about the high and low and the loud and soft, this is actually the shape and form of what is
otherwise
heard.
Who knows whether it's loud or
loud. So that's why each sound has nimitta, each sound
but
has shape
just
and
one
form,
single rupa.
But not one single one. So when we, but her question is whether one can say that the sounds themselves are high and low, loud and
why
soft.
Why not?
They have to be, otherwise they can't be.
Not the same.
No, exactly.
They're not the same, but there's no...
That's why you call it low or high, because of the difference.
Yes, but at the time of hearing.
Yes.
Just the hearing.
When it's loud, can you hear very soft?
Yes, but when it's...
No.
When it's loud, can I hear that it's soft? No. No.
Loud is loud. Soft is soft.
That's right. But at the moment of hearing,
it has
there's
to
no
be
knowing
exactly
loud
the same.
Or soft.
The hearing hears it just as it is. So the hearing hears it, not just one sound. The hearing hears it as high or low or soft. It has to hear it exactly as it is. Otherwise... how could there be the thinking about different sounds if
that's
it's
true.
Not? So it has to be heard just as it is at that moment.
And the same with seeing.
the visible objects are different. They're all different, so they're seen as they are. But there's no... The visible object and seeing are not nimitta. But the rapidity of the arising and falling away leads to the nimitta.
When seeing a moment of pain, can it be known?
Of pain?
Pain. Painful feeling.
No.
Until it's there, a lot.
Right.
Like touching now, how many rupas with space in between, just at the moment of touching this.
Countless.
See, this is the wisdom of the Buddha.
Right. So, talk to me more about the different kinds of nimitta. I'll tell you where I'm coming from on this. I remember a discussion that was had when I wasn't here, but I listened to the recording. And there was some discussion about the distinction between the two of them. And if I'm recalling correctly, Ajahn at some point said, "Does it matter? It's all nimitta." Nimitta, anupyanjana, and shape and form.
Let's talk just one word at a time.
Okay.
For example, if there is no reality at all, can there be nimitta?
No.
Only one single. Can we know the nimitta?
No.
But it has its characteristic, if we would like to say that the characteristic is nimitta of different realities, like sorrow and pleasant feeling.
Yes.
Different characteristic.
Yes.
We can say that the nimitta of it. So the only reality which doesn't have nimitta is Nibbana, because it doesn't arise. But when we talk in general about here, nimitta of everything which arises falls away very rapidly, not just only one, because only one cannot be experienced, even Buddha.
Right.
He just talked about the process, have to finish, and then the panya, through mind door, can understand the continuation of the nimitta. From the first vipassana, clearing, on, until nibbana. See? So it depends on what we mean by nimitta.
Okay.
Without reality, that wouldn't be nimitta at all.
Right.
But realities are different.
Yes.
So can we say that the difference is the nimitta of the difference? This is the beginning. Like hardness, softness,
mm-hmm.
They're different.
Yes.
Can we say that the nimitta of hardness, the nimitta of softness, when it's hard and when it's soft, can we use that term?
I think so.
It doesn't matter at all, as long as without realities there will never be nimitta.
Right.
Nothing to be known.
Yes.
At all.
Yes.
So since it arises and falls away in succession very rapidly, Buddha enlightened the process. From seeing, there is no understanding of seeing instantly.
No.
It must be followed by sampatijjana, sandhya, and so on,
mm-hmm.
as nimitta of many processes.
Yes.
Like now. So this is the nimitta,
mm-hmm.
and then we talk about nimitta and anupyanjana. We just talk about the details of the difference of nimitta, like this and this.
Mm-hmm.
Are these two pages
mm-hmm.
different? So it depends on what we are talking about.
Right. I'm having a little difficulty seeing the distinction.
It is different.
Between the nimitta and anupyanjana.
So the nimitta is like the whole, like the sound, the high or the low, but the difference in the detail of it is the anupyanjana.
Like the violin
mm-hmm.
sound and other instruments sound, musical instruments sound.
Particular details.
The flute and the violin.
Yes, different. So that's the different nimitta.
Otherwise, no one knows that they are different.
Right. Is that what we refer to as the shape and form, or the shape sign and form
of details? Of five khandhas.
So like the high and the low, and the soft or the harsh sound, that is the shape and form, the limiter of what is heard.
Right.
And the particular details of that quality of sound, that's the anubhyanjana that's thought about afterwards.
Okay, one of them is just the hearing of the sound, high or low. And the other is the thinking that flows from that afterwards.
Yes, but the details of it can't all be not attended to at once. So the details are attended to afterwards, the anubhyanjana.
For example,
the anubhyanjana are attended to afterwards.
Example, at the moment of hearing of the sound is high or low or whatever, and it's actually the nimitta of sound that is known. So it is the sign of that high or low sound, the shape and form of the sound that is. But actually, those sounds have different details, but at that moment of understanding the shape and form of the sound or the nimitta, it's not the attending immediately to the details.
And which is the nimitta anubhyanjana?
Nimitta and anubhyanjana are two different words. So the nimitta is the shape and form, and the anubhyanjana are the details.
For example, who's wise? See? Kun Ant or Kun Sarah, who's wise? Without nimitta and anubhyanjana, can one tell? The sound might be very, very similar. It needs more attention of the anubhyanjana to know who's.
Okay, I think I'm seeing it now.
The actual voice, the sound that's heard, is different, and the detail, the nature of that sound that's heard is different. But when we talk about the understanding the nimitta of the sound, it's just the sound that is heard, but it's not the attending to the detail.
Okay.
Right now, nimitta comes first.
Yes.
And then anubhyanjana.
Anubhyanjana comes second.
There are conditions to know it. Otherwise, it's gone. Like everything here.
Okay. I think that's much better. I'm understanding it much better. Somehow I have taken the nimitta anubhyanjana as one thing to be different from something else. I don't know what. But now I think I'm...
Okay. And then Nina's follow-up question, just to make sure. Shape and form or features are experienced through the eye door by seeing consciousness. Is that right?
No thinking?
Well, usually there will be thinking, but her question is whether, before thinking, whether it's correct to say that...
Seeing is not thinking, that's all.
And I think all one can say is just that which is visible, which is seen, and as soon as there's any idea of shape and form or features, then...
But no one can shape, and no one can change the shape and form of
What is seen or what is heard. So it is seen, the shape and form, like the color or whatever. It is seen just exactly as it is, and even the details, the details of what is seen is actually what is seen. Like the sound of the voice, Ajahn's voice or my voice, is heard exactly as it is. But as soon as there's an idea of the details, then it is thinking about
Sarah's
it.
Voice or John's voice or high or
even if there's no thinking, usually there is, but even without thinking, we can say that as that visible object with its nimitta anubhyanjana is seen, and the sound with its nimitta anubhyanjana is heard, even without any thinking.
What is seen, no idea. Whether it's limit anubhyanjana.
Right.
But if it wasn't seen just as it is, and if it wasn't heard just as it is, there couldn't be any idea of nimitta or anubhyanjana or writing or anything else.
I apologize if I'm being repetitive here. But the rapidity of the rising and falling away, that occurs. I mean, that's what happens. And that is why it is the nimitta of sound or the nimitta of visual objects. It's either heard that is the object of that can be the object of understanding.
Are they different? One at a time.
One at a time. Yeah, sound and hearing are
so
different.
So it has its own characteristic.
It has its own characteristic. And it's because of the rapidity that we know we cannot know a moment. Mm-hmm. We know a succession of jitas arising and falling.
We know the nimitta of that reality.
Okay.
When there is awareness of an object, it's not awareness of a single moment.
No.
Of the object.
It's an awareness of that.
Yeah.
The nimitta. Got
the nimitta. Okay. Many moments.
Talk about the shape and form or the nimitta nupiyanjana of what is seen or heard, and can one talk about the shape and form and the nimitta nupiyanjana of the seeing and of the hearing and
five khandas.
Any
five
khandas. Yeah. A lot of people are put off by the word shape and form, and but it's just nimitta.
Yeah.
That's
even
the
pleasant
side.
Feeling. See, different ones.
Each pleasant and each pleasant feeling has its own nimitta, its own shape and form, its own nimitta nupiyanjana.
It's certainly different from unpleasant feeling. It's certainly different from unpleasant feeling.
Each seeing is different. Each seeing of visible object, the seeing itself, each one is different.
Yes.
Conditioned by karma to experience different visible objects.
In the past, how in the case of rupas, that rupas arise in a kalapa, a group. So does this have any bearing on this question of the nimitta and anupiyanjana?
All five khandhas. Not only rupa.
Because, like in the case of the rupas, each one is conditioned by the other rupas it arises with, and the same with the namas, each feeling is conditioned by the other citta seekers and the cittas that accompany it. So
obviously I had previously misunderstood when I said that the term of nimitta and anupiyanjana applies only to rupas, but that's not correct.
Oh, five khandhas.
I've seen it said that there's the nimitta of all five khandhas, but not nimitta and anupiyanjana.
Both.
Both.
And when it talks about, in the suttas, about attending to the nimitta and upiyanjana, what is experienced, well, that not just sense objects, that could be anything, it could be feeling or anything.
For example, a pleasant feeling, see? Not the same at all.
Not the same as?
Because they are different, the nimitta, by nimitta and upiyanjana.
Different instances of pleasant feeling are different.
True.
So, and that difference is explained by nimitta and anupiyanjana.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I think the reason why one tends to have that idea about it referring to, say, sense objects is because often in the sutras it talks about after seeing or after hearing, then there's the attending to the sign and details.
So, is it correct to say that when we talk about being aware of many moments of a particular reality rather than a single moment, that's the nimitta, that nimitta, and the nimitta and anupiyanjana, are they different meanings
is,
of
is the object
uses of nimitta
different from this moment? Is the object of awareness is different from this moment?
Object of awareness is always present moment.
Yes, now it's present.
Right. But I'm just asking about the two uses of nimitta. One is the rapidity of the rising and falling away, and the other
they are as they are, but it depends on thinking of shape, nimitta, or of anubhayanjana.
You say they're different meanings, but actually the nimitta is just the nimitta of what is real. So when it's talking about thinking about the shape and details, well, then it's thinking about it. But the nimitta itself, the nimitta anupyanjana of the reality, is just the same.
In the case of the rapidity, the simile given is of the fire stick. In the case of nimitta anupyanjana, there are different kind of references.
Now.
It's all about now, but...
There must be fire stick and the rapidity of the light.
But we're talking about, say, loud and soft, and
yes,
rather than the,
they are different,
whether it's sound or
because of different nimitta. Mm-hmm. What appear, the appearance is nimitta.
Okay. Paying attention to it or obsessing about it is still to that nimitta anupyanjana of the realities. But it becomes, the more thinking about it, that it's concepts about the nimitta anupyanjana of the realities, but it's still the same nimitta anupyanjana.
I understand that it's still to do with the appearance, but what about the nimitta of the counterpart sign, for example? That's a different thing.
I'm sorry, the nimitta of the what?
Counterpart sign in jhana, in developing samatha to high degrees.
Okay.
But we don't need to go into that
no.
right now.
let's work on the one that's not
you
jhana.
May not want to pick up on this point yet.
No, I don't want to pick
because
it up.
Because there's the word nimitta includes many meanings, not only one.
That's what I'm asking.
Dream is nimitta as well. Dream is nimitta.
But definitely, if you're talking about jhana, it's a totally different meaning. So
yes,
the nimitta of sanya.
Nimitta is nimitta of all five khandhas.
Yes, but even in a dream, though.
Nimitta is that which is the object of sanya.
Okay.
Sanya in remembering, not or marking.
Yes.
It remembers.
Remembers. So obviously remembering.
And vitaka thinks of that which is remembered.
Its object can't be the what was marked some time ago, but it remembers.
It can't be. No, it's the remembering of it.
Yeah.
It's the remembering of it.
Yeah.
Okay. Appearance, something that we
experience
appearing, either the object or the experience of that.
The experiencing is that which experience.
Yes.
And nimitta is that which is experienced.
Yes. And it's experienced because one moment cannot be experienced because they rise and fall away so quickly. Yes? No. Okay, Sarah.
When you say one moment cannot experience, there's only ever the experience at one moment of one object.
Known. It cannot be known. That's it cannot be known. Okay, got it. Thank you. No, it's not fully clear yet, but give me a few minutes.
It's very simple, but we think a lot. Like what appears now? Nimitta. And when we try to find other details, that it anupayanjana, but it's seen.
Okay, that's clear. And it's nimitta because one moment can't be known. The object or the experiencing of that object, one moment cannot be known.
Right. Maybe I might heard it wrong, but long time ago, I heard that you said fun, dreaming is like, is thinking. Like right now,
it's thinking.
We're thinking.
It's
so,
thinking.
Right? It's thinking.
It's not seeing, hearing, speaking.
Yes. You said...
All five khandhas.
All five khandhas, yes.
You have nimitta and anupyanjana.
Okay. Thank you. Panya at the level of Vipassana Yana, Panya at that level know the nimitta of hardness or the nimitta of unpleasant feeling.
It has to be nimitta of
priya. It must be a nimitta because one moment cannot be.
It must be nimitta. Yeah. Always nimitta.
Anubhyanjana is the sign of details. Thinking about.
Okay. You know the anubhyanjana of this.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Anubhyanjana?
Yes. Well, no, that I'm thinking about the sign in details.
Just
it's the concept.
Same,
yeah.
Each of it.
Okay. Each little difference is the anubhyanjana. So if when I say yes incorrectly earlier, it's what I was probably saying was following on the sign and details comes the formation of the concepts and thinking about the concepts.
When it's not seeing, hearing, smelling, tasting,
right.
It's thinking.
Right. Thank you for your explanation and your patience.
Because there's no attending yet to those details at all. So when there it is attending, usually it's thinking.
Yes.
Right. Nimitta, nimitta, and then anubhyanjana.
Yes.
Crocodile and leech. Crocodile and leech. The grasping to the nimitta is said to be like a crocodile, which grabs the hole.
Oh.
And the grasping to the anubhyanjana is said to be like a leech.
Okay.
Talking about different vedana and feelings, and we know vedana is so important, vedana kanda, and there is always looking for pleasant feeling. And you mentioned that because of always looking for pleasant feeling, one wants rupas because of attachment to that vedana, to that pleasant feeling. That's why one wants visible objects or sounds or tangible objects in order to have more pleasant feeling. Would you say a little more?
Feeling arises with each moment, and when it's pleasant, it clings.
And it's so ridiculous, really, because when it is the moment of seeing or hearing, there isn't even pleasant feeling at that moment, but still there's clinging and wanting more pleasant feeling and clinging to those objects for pleasant feeling.
Asava and oka and also yoga. It's impossible to get away. Only panya can do. Think of the situation. One is flat all the time.
Yoked in samsara at each moment of
can never get away.
Yoked in the flood.
It's now. When there's ignorance.
Be an example of the sign and detail of a nama.
Always.
Sorry?
Always.
Always.
Yeah, different feeling.
Different feeling.
If you're talking about vedana, you said vedana or nama?
I said a nama.
Vedana is an example.
Yeah.
Each different place.
If they are not different, how can there be nimitta of each? Different kinds. Even pleasant feeling cannot be just exactly the same. Banimitta.
Stronger and weaker.
Mm-hmm. Different shade, degree.
Just as each, for example, each tangible object, like each example of heat, each different, each one hotter or colder or different, each hardness is different, hard or soft or exactly as it is, and it's just the same with the touching or the seeing. Each one is different. just a uniform temperature that experience, and it's just not a uniform touching that touches it.
Well, I guess I'm maybe misunderstanding in terms of the visible object, because we are saying that looking at this packet, for example, and the example of the nimitta is the overall appearance, and the anubhyanchana is the lettering on it, the detail, level of detail. I can't see there's an equivalent for, say, feeling, pleasant feeling.
Really? Different ones all the time. Manimitta. The taste of pepper, the taste of green pepper, red one.
Right. Yeah, but that's a rupa, isn't it?
And condition different feeling towards it.
Correct.
Pleasant feeling with udaccha and the pleasant feeling with calm. To give obvious examples, quite different.
Well, yes, but by virtue of different mental factors arising, not by virtue necessarily of a difference in the feeling itself.
That's why the feeling is different, because of the associated factors that condition it in different ways, just like that's why the visible object is different, because of the other rupas that arise together with it and condition it to be different at each moment.
Well, not in the example that we're talking about of the shape and form of the package.
Okay. What do you mean? Again, please.
When you're talking about the shape and form of the package.
Okay.
Yeah. We're talking about the overall shape.
And the feeling at moment of experiencing.
The feeling?
Mm-hmm. Of the shape and form. Different from the moment when it's about the details. So it has different nimitta, even of the feeling. To know that feeling are different. Feelings are different. At moment of seeing the shape, and when you like it very much, so beautiful,
mm-hmm.
See?
Right.
The nimitta of that sense.
Yes.
The feeling.
Yes, I can see that.
Yeah. The intensities.
What is the anubhyanchana then of the feeling?
The same.
Same.
Each different.
Okay.
It's just daily life, unknown. That everything is different.
Yeah.
That cannot, that never be the same at all. That's why there are nimitta and anubhyanchana.
What did you say at the very end there? Okay.
Each different one are not the same. It's not the same.
Yes.
That's why it has its own nimitta of each.
Yes.
And when we think about the pleasant feeling, roughly, it's not just the moment when we call it in detail, anubhyanchana, a feeling.
Thank you.
I'm going to say thank you too, but I can't promise I won't be raising it again tomorrow.
Ordinary life, when it's unknown, when it's not told about even each moment is different,
mm-hmm.
because of nimitta and anubhyanchana.